Jason, Ben Johnson says that the Bears are starting from square one, and the place you start from square one is the NFL Scouting Combine. We'll talk about that and more from Indianapolis coming up on Halas Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, we are sitting here on Tuesday afternoon, having just spoken to Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles a couple of different occasions about what they plan on doing to get the Bears back to where they finished the season, if not further in the NFC playoffs. What was your main takeaway so far?
Well, Pat, it's interesting when you're in Indianapolis covering the Bears because they so often are a major player at this event and not so much a major player during the event known as the season. Mm-hmm. And it's the opposite now where they don't have this top pick that everybody's calling about like they did a couple years ago, or Justin Fields being on the trading block, things like that. But there's still a lot to follow here with the Bears. They're picking 25th, so that is not the most exciting thing on their in their offseason. But there's just something funny about the combine. There's something old school about it where we have all these ways to communicate now instantly with multiple people at the same time electronically. But for some reason, bringing all these GMs and bringing all these agents into the same actual physical space has a way of speeding up movement. Deals happen. The start of deals happens at the combine. And the Bears have a lot of decisions to make beyond the draft that will come up here. They have free agents of their own to evaluate, free agents that will be available to them or cap casualties from other teams, trade candidates from other teams. And they've got guys that they've got some key guys that are under contract for 2026, but with no certainty about whether or not they'll keep them for 2026, because you'll have situations like Tremaine Edmonds, where I think he's on the books for something around $17 million in 2026, but with an out of, I want to say, about $3
million. It's $15 million. If they were to cut Tremaine Edmonds tomorrow, they would save $15 million toward next year. The Bears can also save salary cap space by restructuring the deals of DJ Moore, Joe Tooney, I think Montez Sweat is in there. But when you restructure a deal, the money just doesn't go away. It's just your problem for another day. And Ryan Poles has been very cautious in how much he wants to kick that can down the road.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why? He said it today for the first time.
He said, you guys all saw what happened before I got here. When you do that, and then it all goes downhill really fast. He meant that in regards to not only pushing cap space down the road, but in selling out in a trade. I mean, to me, the context of Khalil Mack was pretty unmistakable there too. And I think that's relevant when you bring up Max Crosby or some of these other guys who might be available via trade, is that when you go all in and say, we'll worry about the money and the draft assets later, when that doesn't go well, everybody gets fired.
If you win a championship, well worth it. But right. If you don't.
Well, and that's the risk that the Bears are going to have to ponder here before the league season starts in, what, 3 weeks, something like that. I will tell you this. The Bears need to get under the salary cap right now just to function.
Just to be legal.
They're about $4 million over. They could do a couple of, you know, paperwork moves like we just discussed and be under, you know, in time for the league year to start. But then you need room to start signing guys. You need room to start, you know, negotiating extensions with your own people. You know, Kevin Byard's out there. They want him back, and it seems like they want an answer to that in the next 10 days or so. You need money to make that happen, and you need to come up with money somehow. And I want to go through a list real quick of the veterans that did come up today, because like you mentioned, that's more interesting than the draft, at least as we sit here right now for the Chicago Bears, because the Bears are drafting 25th, and they're going to, you know, they're at the mercy of whatever happens in front of them.
And part of what Ryan Poles addressed, though, when you talk about kicking money down the road, that I have not heard him say before, and I know Bears staff member has had reason to say for a long time, is Ryan Poles is factoring in paying Caleb Williams at this point. That's not a done deal. Caleb Williams has a lot of growth and development to do. Ryan Poles said that. But Ryan Poles is planning for the scenario where you don't have the quarterback on the rookie contract, and if you've kicked all his money down the road, then you're really in trouble.
And I mean, if things go well, you're going to owe him $50 million a year.
Yeah.
If not more.
We don't have to worry about that yet. Ryan Poles doesn't have to worry about that yet. That is for a year from now, I believe.
Yes.
But who came up Tuesday when we talked to Ryan Poles in Indianapolis?
Tyson Bagent, the backup quarterback.
Okay.
Tyson's making, over the next 2 years, he's going to make $10 million total. He's been really good for the Bears in the preseason, and he was good as a rookie in the four games that he started, or at least as good as a undrafted rookie could ever be in that situation. He has attracted attention from teams around the league. There was a report earlier in the month that the Cardinals were kicking him around as an idea, and Ryan Poles confirmed today that, yeah, teams have called on him. And, you know, they love him here. Ben Johnson is wired more like Tyson Bagent than he is Caleb Williams, I'll tell you that. And Ryan Poles found him, discovered this guy, a Division II player, undrafted, who he turned into, you know, somebody who actually has real value. But it would have been really easy for the two of them to say, no, we're not trading him. And they didn't say that.
What did Ben Johnson say when he was asked about Ryan Poles musing about the possibility of trading Tyson Bagent?
Ben Johnson is not...
it's an audio platform. You could do it.
He went, no!
Really like loudly. Really loudly.
He did the dramatic fake cough. And Ben Johnson doesn't go for jokes ever very often.
No, he doesn't.
It was kind of a disarming way to see it. And both he and Ryan Poles said the same thing. They said, listen, you need a good backup quarterback in this league, and they believe that Tyson is a really good backup quarterback. On the other hand, they feel like they would be doing right by him by trading him to a situation where he could start. If I were them, I would be less concerned with doing right by him and more concerned with covering themselves. Caleb Williams hasn't missed a game yet. He hasn't missed a significant snap because of injury in his 2 years. To expect that to continue, I think, is crazy.
Super unlikely.
Super unlikely.
And I don't think they're going to factor in necessarily trading Tyson Bagent to a good situation where, you know, sending him to the Vikings, for example. I know they wouldn't do it, in division. But where there's a, you know, a good coach in place or something like that. But I do I think by nature they will be trading him to someone that needs a starter.
Right.
So you might be trading him to the Jets or the Cardinals, like a dead end, a disaster situation. But he does get to start and get the chance to earn a starter contract from that team. But you want to trade him somewhere where he's going to start because that aligns with getting the most you can for him. Typically, you're getting a second round pick for a quarterback that both teams agree is a starting caliber quarterback.
Yeah, and you know, maybe you get a third here because he hasn't done a whole lot in the NFL. Like we said, he's only made those four starts. But if you get a third, you now have to turn around and go pay a backup quarterback. And you're going to have to go pay a backup quarterback on the free agent market more money than you're paying Tyson Bagent. Mm-hmm. So how badly do you want that third round pick? Do you want it bad enough to downgrade your backup quarterback and pay more for the privilege? Or is it smarter to just keep Tyson Bagent and figure that a guy who knows the offense, a guy who went through the same growing pains that Caleb Williams did and was in those same meetings and was theoretically a part of his success, right? Like, you know, every team talks about the quarterback room. You know, Caleb just had this breakthrough season. Maybe you don't want to mess with the people around him. Is that worth a three? Is that worth a two?
I think that's my line. Yeah. I think you just laid it out there. That is worth a two. It's not worth a three.
Right.
And if I can get a second round pick, that's a potential defensive starter. That's a potential Pro Bowl level player. Yes. Third round pick, no.
Well, and I think you can hear in both Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson laying out the case for and against it today. I think it sounds to me like, hey, if you have an offer, come let us know. You know, it seemed like this was a message to the teams around the league that, you know, if they've got a serious, you know, draft pick that they want to trade, like, the Bears will listen.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about that third round pick and how much you want it. There's another third round pick that the Bears may or may not be entitled to. Do you want to explain
that? You're talking
one?
Ian Cunningham?
Yeah, there are two third round picks.
Yeah, let's get to that. But let's, while we're on the subject of the current players, that's one. Bagent is one of five. Mm-hmm. Players that is kind of things are a little cloudy for right now on their future. Five guys that are under contract. We're not even talking about Byard and Brisker. The other four that came up are DJ Moore, Tremaine Edmonds, DeAndre Swift, and Cole Kmet. And Poles was firmer on some than others.
Well, he was firm on Kmet and Swift. He said, you had asked him directly, What was your phrase?
About those two guys.
Yeah, and he said that he thought that they were good.
He said he felt pretty good about them being back, but he left open the possibility, like we alluded to earlier in this conversation, Patrick, that things start to move at the combine, and deals that you didn't imagine were available to you become available to you in the magic of Indianapolis.
The majesty of having a light beer in a hotel bar at midnight with an agent nearby.
What's it called? High Velocity?
High Velocity, yes it is.
The Marriott bar. Well, so for now, based on what Ryan Poles knew and had heard on his phone and in hallways as of Tuesday morning, felt pretty good about Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift being back for 2026.
Mm-hmm. And I think with good reason. You know, he mentioned today that, or I think Ben Johnson said that Swift had his best season, full stop. Okay. Cole Kmet, I think we've learned the way that Ben Johnson likes to use 2 and 3 tight end sets. I think you need more than one starting tight end. And I think between Cole Kmet and Colson Loveland, the Bears have got one of the best tandems in the league. And again, I don't know why you would want to mess with that when that was part of the system that helped bring Caleb Williams along.
And if you don't have to.
And if you don't have to.
If you're paying Caleb Williams, if you're paying your quarterback $60 to $70 million a year, I don't even know what it's going to be at that point with inflation. But if you're paying your quarterback $60 million a year, you probably can't have Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland. But when you're paying him $10 million, you can.
That's a problem for future Ryan to worry about, not current Ryan.
Right.
To worry about. And DJ Moore, though, is a little more complicated. Both men we talked to today will say over and over again how much they love DJ. And DJ knew all the positions at wide receiver, and DJ was the toughest guy on the team and would shame other people into playing through injuries. And, you know, DJ's production, when it mattered most, was really good until that last interception. But neither of them will say, we're not going to trade DJ. Do you find that curious? And he is starting a 4-year contract that is going to pay him a ton of money, and he is overpaid starting today, probably.
What's his cap number for 2026?
He is on I will find it for you. I have it in my notes. His cap hit for the next 2 years is $28.5 million.
Okay.
There is an out at the end of 2027 in which you only have a $4 million dead cap hit. But if the dead cap hit this year in 2026, let's say this isn't going to happen, but let's say you just cut him. The dead cap hits $35 million. You actually have to pay $7.5 million more to cut him than you do to just keep him employed in terms of cap math. So, you know, he's making $28.5 million. He's probably not your best wide receiver.
And that's the question, really. The question isn't, is DJ Moore good? The question isn't, in a vacuum, do you want DJ Moore or not want DJ Moore? And I think there's a gulf between the way people view DJ Moore outside the organization and his value inside the organization. I think he's super misunderstood because of some of his body language. I think he's an easy scapegoat because of that. Whereas internally, they know this is one. It should not be undervalued how smart, tough, and selfless DJ Moore is. He is the type of player you really want. But it's not that. That isn't the question. The question is he a $28 million wide receiver? Is he good enough to be your number one or 1A, 1B wide receiver if you're a championship team? That is to be determined. He certainly wasn't this year, no matter how much Ben Johnson values him.
No, but, you know, so long as Roma Dunze is on a rookie deal, and so long as Luther Burden's on a rookie deal, and so long as Colson Loveland's on a rookie deal, and so long as, why am I blanking, Jahdae Walker's on a rookie deal, you can be, I don't want to say irresponsible, but a splurge at the position that you've already agreed to, and it was agreed to by the general manager who's still here.
Pre-Ben Johnson.
Yeah, though. This isn't a Matt Eberflus thing. This is something Ryan Poles agreed to. You can live with it at $28.5 million because of the group you have around you not making that much money. You know, the second question becomes, if he's unattractive to you, who in the heck in the league is going to come to you and say, I want to give you real stuff for the privilege of paying DJ Moore $28.5 million a year? And, you know, I don't think that draft pick, whatever that would be high enough to entice the Bears. Because I think the Bears probably value DJ more than your average team would. because of what he does inside the locker room and you know, helping that coaching staff. He really did help the coaching staff this year put in the offense and motivate his teammates.
Well, also, Ryan Poles talked Tuesday about replacement cost being a factor here. If you were to unload DJ Moore, somebody has to come in and fill that production.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that affordably? Tyreek Hill or something like that? I mean, taking a total shot in the dark on a player that the rest of the league, or at least some of the league, thinks, you know, somebody like that, though.
Right.
Where are you going to find that? You're not.
And what do you have to pay for it? And I mean, you might not pay 28.5, but paying 20, paying 22, and all of a sudden, how much is that fourth round draft pick worth for you? I mean, you know, you get a fourth round draft pick and save $6 million. Is that worth all of the churn that you're going to have to do to make it work?
In the unknown, that draft pick, you know, whoever you bring in is an unknown. DJ Moore is not an unknown.
No, and you mentioned.
But I think you're going to have a hard time trading him. With that contract coming off the worst year of his career, I don't know that other teams are going to take into account all this nuance of, well, it was Ben Johnson, there was a bunch of different players, Caleb Williams and the passing game were inefficient for a lot of the year. I don't think that's going to be factored in to say, okay, yeah, we will, and you guys don't think he's worth this, that's why you're going to put him out there for trade talks. I don't think someone else is going to come along and go for that.
If at the end of regulation against the Rams, I sat there and turned to you and said, I think the Bears should cut DJ Moore, you'd laugh me out of the room. I think so many Bears fans right now are a prisoner of the moment, in that the way the season ended was a miscommunication between the quarterback and DJ Moore. And I think that Bears fans, justifiably so, had fallen so in love with the quarterback because he did things that none of us have really seen at Soldier Field ever, that I think it's just human nature that in the weeks since, they've painted that final play as DJ Moore betraying his teammates or something. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it was a concept that didn't work.
It was Caleb improvising on the fly in a key moment and DJ Moore not picking up quickly enough that he was doing that.
Now, should DJ have done that or have done better there? Absolutely. DJ Moore also caught the game winner against the Packers. That's what is that? The most significant play a Bears player has made in 10 years?
I think it won NFL Play of the Year, didn't it?
Yeah, NFL Play of the Year.
At the NFL Honors?
When, you know, we can look at DJ's numbers and they weren't what I think DJ would hope they would be and the Bears would hope they would be, but in big moments at the end of the year, they went to DJ Moore. I mean, I think...
He has zero reputation as somebody that gives half effort.
No.
In that building and outside of the building, he does have that view by some people because of his bad body language. But even that last play that people are probably still upset about, and I think you're absolutely right, they just need somebody to blame that isn't Caleb Williams. That is a case of DJ Moore not reacting quickly enough and not picking up on what was happening quickly enough. It's not a case of DJ Moore just kind of pulling up and giving up on a play at the key moment of the season.
And I also don't
know. It's not an effort issue.
And I also don't know whether we'll ever get a straight answer on this, though. But DJ was checked by a concussion spotter during the game.
Pretty shortly before that.
Yeah, and I would be curious what role, if any, a blow to the head played in his ability to improvise there or his ability to do what he should do. I think DJ Moore at this point is so underrated. Whatever it is. What am I trying to say, Jason?
He's so underrated, he's overrated?
No, I'm trying to say that I would keep him around. I think he's a better player than he's been given credit for in the last 6 weeks.
I think all of these conversations assume that, for example, Max Crosby's not available.
Right.
If Max Crosby becomes available, you kind of throw a lot of these things out because could the Bears figure out how to do some stuff at wide receiver if it meant to bring in a game-changing pass rusher? Yes, they would. Ben Johnson would welcome that challenge. What about Tremaine Edmonds? How do you view that? I think one of the funniest – there were two really funny things to me on Tuesday, and one was relating to Ian Cunningham, which we can get to in a minute. But the other was Ryan Poles' answer, or I guess if you can call it that, response to a question about Tremaine Edmonds.
Lay it out, Jason. Go for it.
I mean, it was basically just explaining all of the possible things that could ever happen in any NFL season with any team, with any player. To say non-committal isn't even accurate because it was a non-answer.
It was just word salad. And, you know, one thing that's notable, I think, is that over the years, Ryan Poles has tried to, when he knows he's going to cut a veteran, has tried to do it before the combine to give the veteran's agent time to work the room, essentially. You know, you've seen that happen if you go over, you know, dating to, I mean, Cody Whitehair, DeMarcus Walker, I mean, all these guys. That didn't happen this year. One reason it may not have happened this year is because the Bears' offseason schedule changed a little bit. And that meant that everybody kind of got away for a couple of weeks, which I think is a valuable thing for everyone. But it also means that maybe the timing on that was different. And I even asked, you know, Ryan, hey, should we read into the fact that that your schedule was different and therefore, you know, it's not like he's necessarily safe. And Ryan said, I wouldn't necessarily go there. But, yeah, he was in no rush to give an answer either way. And he said the word trade over and over again today in talking about a lot of things. And I do wonder if a team would be willing to trade for Tremaine Edmonds and if they'd be willing to do it without having to tear up his contract and write him a new one. And if the answer to either of those is yes, then maybe that's how it ends up. This is not a reflection of Tremaine's performance, by the way. This is a salary cap reality.
It's just too expensive. It's a luxury they can't afford when they have other problems.
Well, and I'll tell you this, that if he's the only casualty this offseason that's money-driven, that's a pretty well-managed offseason. Most years you see a team get this far and they've got a lot more changes to make. Let's talk about Ian Cunningham real quick before we get out of here. He was the Bears' assistant GM. He was named the GM of the Falcons. The diversity rule, or the rule that encourages minority hires in the NFL, dictates that if you get a promotion to a GM or a head coach job for a different team, the team you're coming from is owed 2 third-round draft picks, one this year and one the next.
It's to incentivize teams to develop
right
potential head coaches and potential GMs.
Mm-hmm. The NFL was saying, even before Ian was hired, that the Bears wouldn't get that sort of compensation because Matt Ryan, who was just named the president of football there, was going to be the chief decision maker. They hired Ian. Matt Ryan essentially said that Ian's going to be the one making a lot of these decisions. And the Bears still have not been awarded this third-round pick. Ryan Poles said essentially that they've appealed it, and he doesn't know when they're going to get an answer one way or the other. He also said something that I thought he handled very well, which was that the notion of rewarding teams for allowing minority candidates to grow kind of made him feel icky. And part of it was that when he left the Chiefs got a third-round pick for aiding in his development. And what he said was that, you know, why wouldn't you want your employees to grow and to prosper and to advance, regardless of the color of their skin? I thought that was an important caveat before he then turned around and said, I'd love 2 third-round picks.
He said it's a strange rule.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he said that, as you mentioned, his desire to support and develop Ian Cunningham and to push him out to a promotion is something in itself. Separately from that, there happens to be this set of rules, and if this exists, then why did the Bears not get to benefit from it? The most interesting thing to me from this conversation Tuesday is Ian Cunningham, the general manager of another team, is out here saying pretty clearly that Bears should get picks for him going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So the Bears and the Falcons agree on this.
I mean, Ryan Poles is Ian's best friend, and they made a pact a long time ago that whoever got a GM job would then help the other one get a GM job. So maybe some of it is him trying to take care of his guy. And I think it's worth pointing out, these picks don't come from the Falcons. It's not like the Falcons.
Not directly.
It's not like the Falcons need to cough up something. It's a pick that's created out of whole cloth, put into the draft, and then everybody else suffers a little bit because they have to pick one spot right further down. But it's pretty much no harm, no foul here. And, you know, the Bears want an answer specifically why. I don't think they're going to hear what they want to hear. I think the NFL was clear from before the hire was made, that, you know, whoever the team was who had a minority candidate would not get draft compensation. So I find it hard to believe they'd go back on that. But we'll see. I mean, it's worth a shot. You know, when we talk about Tyson Bagent getting them a third-round pick, maybe you get a third-round pick for free here.
I would agree with you on the belief that the NFL isn't going to reverse something it has already said, except that you now have Atlanta publicly advocating for it. Ian Cunningham, whether he's Ryan Pohl's friend or not, represents the Falcons, the other organization involved in this tangentially, even though, like you said, it's not like they are the ones giving up the third round pick for 26 and the third round pick for 27. But you have the other team, a second team, and the team that's involved, Atlanta, pushing publicly for this and saying, why are the Bears not getting a pick?
Real quick before we go, I do think it's worth giving the Bears a little bit of credit for letting him go regardless, right? I mean, it's a promotion, but it doesn't benefit them for him to leave. I think the Bears get credit, too, for Declan Doyle going to become a play-calling offensive coordinator with the Ravens. That's not something they had to allow him to do. But again, it gets back to the notion of, do you want the people who work underneath you to thrive, even if it's for a different team? And, you know, do you want them to be volunteers or do you want them to be hostages?
And are you that insecure about your own abilities and your own hiring abilities that, oh, we can't let him leave because we could never find someone else that does what Declan Doyle or Ian Cunningham or Eric Bieniemy does? You don't want to stand in the way of that out of fear that you can't go hire somebody good to fill that job.
I think it reflects well upon the Bears, regardless of how this turns out. That's where we are. Jason, we're going to be here all week. The combine is about the draft, and there will be time for talking about the draft and what makes sense for the Bears, and that will be a little bit later on in the week. Until then, people can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website, on their app, and if you live in town, go buy a paper. Jason will be back later in the week. Might even talk some stadium stuff. We'll see what happens. But until then, he's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again soon.